Okay, I'll make some introductions of some other colleagues shortly, but my name is Steve Noonan and I manage the finance activities of the companies, and I'm going to take you through the first part of this presentation. So moving on to the one of the important pages in the document in a moment. The important notice and disclaimer, I'm sure you're not going to read it right now, but please do so later. Bring your attention to it. It includes important notices and disclaimers, and that will be included within this presentation and will be on the bondholders' website, as say, next week. Okay, so moving on to the contents. Obviously self-explanatory, indicates the nature of material we'll go through today, and there will be an opportunity for questions at the end of this presentation. So moving then to the agenda, we'll present you with a brief reminder of the project, the key operational financial issues that we faced by the company over the past year or have been faced, and we'll also address the outlook for the company. We'll also be discussing briefly the decommissioning or progress on decommissioning plan, which we are obliged to have as part of our various obligations. As I mentioned, there will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end. For those of you, I think you're using Teams, you could raise your hand, or in fact, if there's only one person still in the room as an external presenter, external participant, please just ask your question as and when. So let's move on then to the welcome slide. We've got a number of representatives who are here to answer questions later on. And the presenters today are myself, Director of Finance, Steve Noonan, and we've got Mike Edgar as Technical Director, but other representatives of the company are here. George Tasker, in particular, who's a Dalmore employee and represents the equity investors in the project, being various Dalmore managed funds. Daniel Pires, who is also a director of the company, is not available to attend the meeting today. And there are other participants in this meeting available for questions, including Tim Price from Frontier Power and George Stewart from IML, who manage the finance and accounting books and records and company secretarial activities. Mike will provide a voiceover on operational matters and the outlook and decommissioning. I will deal mainly with the finance matters, and other colleagues, as I mentioned, will be available for questions. You will note that the slide deck includes a number of various industry acronyms and other abbreviations, and these are defined in the appendix of the slide deck that you can consult as necessary at the end. Okay, turning to the background, I said I'll give a brief reminder of the project before we get to the details, the operational details. There have been no changes since the last investor report, or indeed really the last investor presentation, and these are laid out in the background slide, as you can see, but I'll highlight the following point. The project is a transmission project. It is separate both operationally and commercially from the wind farm. The slide shows the wind farm is capable of providing clean, renewable energy to approximately 350,000 homes. However, this can't be delivered to those homes without the transmission system the Wads Transmission Project owns and operates. The project assets include the offshore platform, two subsea cables, two land cables, and is connected to the wind farm at the offshore platform end and to the onshore grid owned by National Grid Electricity Transmission PLC at the land end in Heysham. Wads Transmission has a perpetual offshore license issued by the authority with a 20-year revenue incentive term, as shown in the slide. It was issued in 2015. The equitable interest is vested in funds managed by Dalmore, as already mentioned, and Frontier Power provides management services to the project. So I'm going to give a bit detail on the next slide in relation to the shareholders I've already mentioned Dalmore Capital as being the manager overall of the assets on behalf of the investors who are Dalmore managed funds. Dalmore, I'm sure, is very familiar to you. And at the end of July, they had over 5.5 billion of assets under management. I would note that you'll be aware, I'm sure, that Royal London Asset Management has agreed to acquire the entire share capital of Dalmore Capital, and completion is expected later this year. We don't expect this transaction to have any impact on the day-to-day asset operations of the Wads OFTO. But to the extent you have any further questions in relation to that potential or future transaction, then George is here to answer questions on that. IML provide financial administrative services to the project and experts in the provision of these and other management services to the PPP PFI sector. Okay, so now I'm going to pass over to Mike now, who is going to deal with the operational performance over the last 12 months and some comments on the decommissioning plan, which is a project which is currently one of the matters we are dealing with. So, Mike, can I pass over to you?
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. So, Mike Edgar, Technical Director, looking after the Wads transmission asset. So, right at the top there, we've got health, safety, and environment. And I'm very pleased to report that the HSE performance is very good at Wads site. And indeed, there's been no reportable incidents this period. Or throughout the life of the asset since 2015. Just to confirm there's a number of environmental obligations under the marine license that's been granted to Wads, and all those actions have been discharged successfully. So, from a health, safety, and environment perspective, a good performance. So moving on to the availability aspect of things this period, that there were two outages this year. The major outage was between the 5th of May and 8th of May, and that was a planned outage to replace a voltage transformer, and that went very successfully and to plan. And the other outage, which is the first bullet there, was a shorter duration outage, a fault outage that was instigated following some testing activity on the harmonic filter. But overall, the forecast availability performance to the end of the year, assuming there's no unplanned outages taking place, will be 99.54%. So, everything is pointing to a high availability year this year. So, moving on to the next slide. This is really more of a risk mitigation aspects to the performance. So, it's a restatement of preemptive MMO or Marine Management Organization license for the OFTO asset, where if any interventions are required, for example, subsea cable interventions, we've got template arrangements in place that can be quickly enacted to avoid any delays in any remediation should we need that. So that's very much just effectively taking 3 or 4 weeks out of a process that could be quite protracted. Certainly not expected, but we are mindful of minimizing all the risks we can there. In terms of the cable condition itself, things are quite stable since the 2023 bathymetric survey that looks at the level of burial and cable condition between the offshore platform and onshore platform. We have the next scheduled survey to take place in 2026, and at that time we will report on the findings, which I trust will be as positive as the 2023 survey. So just to take a little step back in looking at the availability really from the start of the project in 2015. The cumulative reported availability through to the 31st of July this year since asset transfer has been 99.58%, which is excellent, and we're delighted to be maintaining that high level of availability. Now, we had previously reported in the investor report a successful exceptional event claim concerning a 2021 outage, and that has allowed us to update it in a positive manner the availabilities for 2021 and 2022. And you'll see there, I'll not go through the numbers, but you'll see them set out really, which substantiates the overall 99.58% availability for the since vesting. And again, those details are found in the investor report as well. So in terms of the key stakeholders, that's the O&M contractor, the transmission, the National Grid Electricity Transmission System owner, as well as the National Energy System Operator, have all been very positive, along with the authority Ofgem and similarly the Financial Security Trustee. So overall, you know, a pleasing position at the to date. So as Steve mentioned, there are also some decommissioning work that's been going on for the WADS asset. The sort of headline picture here is that through halfway through the life of the transmission revenue scheme of WADS, we have to go through a review of the decommissioning arrangements and then start reserving monies to allow for that decommissioning to take place from this year. And we have successfully submitted a revised plan to the relevant government department, SNES, and we await a response. But I think the key aspect here really is that we don't anticipate any material deviation from the current forecast spend on decommissioning. However, we still await the Secretary of State for DESNZ, their approval, and then at such point we will make the appropriate revisions to reserving. So just taking a step back again on the more general decommissioning arrangements for the industry, I think this is just for information really. As you've probably gathered, the Secretary of State has the powers to approve a decommissioning plan under the Energy Act of 2004. And along with that, it produces some guidance for the creation and maintenance of those decommissioning plans. So there were a few changes to that guidance since the commencement of the WADS OFTO asset in 2019, and it made a number of subtle changes really to the requirements. Since that time, we've been working as part of an industry body to clarify the requirements and explain the circumstances of WADS along with other early round, early tender round OFTOs, which essentially really tries to address the application of retrospective changes to requirements. So the current situation is that Ofgem have accepted that the changes proposed within the new guidance is considered to be a regulatory change, a legislative change, and therefore there is some allowance within the Transmission Alliance to recover those additional monies. And the next point is the requirements on removal of certain offshore assets from the seabed. The initial guidance allowed some assets, and for example, cables that are well buried under the seabed to remain there. Whereas the circumstance has changed later on in the life of Erith Off Toes. What the Michael Shanks, the Minister for Energy, has written on the 12th of June 2025 that he is minded to accept the difference between the various vintages of Off Toes and effectively accept the prevailing guidance at the time of the Off Toe commencement as the relevant benchmark. So I think really sort of positive news in terms of a stable arrangement for the decommissioning funding for the WADS project. So I suppose I'll now just hand back over to Steve to just run through some of the financial performance highlights.
Thanks, Monique. What you want from an off-tow is pretty much business as usual and boring. And fortunately, we are in that position. There are no issues really arising. As noted on the slide at the end of June 25, the senior bonds outstanding were 156.9 million. Which is as per the prospectus. We've got swaps in place for 75% of revenue, they're still there, and the PBC letter of credit of 15% of the bond principal is still available to us and is undrawn. You will see some good ratios recorded on this slide, well in excess of the lockup amounts. One new item to bring to your attention, which has been reflected in the investor report as well, which was published last month, that with effect from the 1st of October 24, NESO, the National Energy System Operator, was acquired by the Secretary of State for Energy Security and Net Zero from National Grid PLC on behalf of the UK government. So in essence, the counterparty now for WADS in relation to its revenue stream is now with a publicly owned body. For the current year, transmission revenue of 32.3 million is being invoiced and continues to be settled for by NESO in accordance with industry standard terms. Our operating costs at the end of June are slightly lower than budget, but most of the variance is due to a change in expectation of timing and of those maintenance activities that underlie those costs. So it's likely that the underspend will be caught up later in the period, but there are no major signals there of any concern. We continue to pay all key contractors in accordance with the contractual payment terms. All of our key financial deliverables have been met, including the filing of regulatory accounts for the year and the end of March. We can confirm no event of default has occurred. Cumulative debt service from financial close at the end of June was 169.8 million, again in line with the prospectus and the financial close and current operational model. And as mentioned, the PBC remains undrawn. So basically, we are entirely consistent with our expectations, and there are no concerns from a financial perspective at this time. So again, I'm going to pass over to Mike now to discuss the outlook in relation to our priorities for the next 12 months. So Mike.
Okay, thanks, Steve. So just a quick review here of the key operational priorities for the next 12 months. Clearly it's to maintain a focus on health, safety and environment during this year and indeed for the rest of the life of the asset. Of course, it's to maintain high availability performance and ensure we get as many of the availability credits as we can. And as part of that, it's really to continue to apply good industry practice, both in terms of asset stewardship, but also maintaining close working relationships with key stakeholders, including the O&M contractor. The piece of work that we are working on for next year is a major outage of circuit two in 2026. So we did a major outage for circuit one this year, and it's to maintain that successful outcome and do quite a considerable amount of work in a relatively short period of time over a low availability period in summer. So we'll be working hard to make sure that that minimizes the impact on availability. And just a final bullet there, just summarizing where we are really as far as the decommissioning program. We have submitted the revised program, and we will await approval, but in the meantime, we're reserving for the decommission of the Off-Toes assets to commence or in a well
It has commenced.
it has commenced, sorry, thanks, Steve. And consistent with the current decommissioning plan that was created at the start of since 2015. And when we do get approval from the Secretary of State, we will amend that reserving appropriately. But as I said earlier, it's not really any material deviation from the current arrangements. So I think that's it for me from an outlook point of view.
So yeah, well, I think there's maybe still only one external participant.
Yes.
I did have
So please ask your questions.
Sure. So maybe we can touch a little bit on insurance, because I think over the last few years, what we have seen is just the insurance market maybe responding to some challenges facing one of your peers, which has maybe not performed as well, and also generally tightening across the sector. So if you're able to maybe just comment on how you see this going forward. And then my second question was really on the decommissioning side. I understand from the presentation that it looks like it's fairly locked in with DESNZ. And so is there any risk that potentially once this has been reviewed, that there could be some sort of material deviations from the plan that you've submitted?
Okay, well, let me first of all, sorry, which organisation are you representing? Oh,
Sorry, I'm at Rothesay.
sorry, who?
Rothesay,
Oh, okay.
ROTH, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I'll just pick up on general comments about the insurance. Actually, we're not experiencing any major changes to the, in fact, probably seeing a bit of a softening on the insurance in the past 12 to last two premium changes. The next time we come to face the market for on insurance will be October this year. There's no specific indication about whether we as to any particular hardening at this stage, although obviously the approach to the market will take place later in the summer, and maybe we will see what we will see. But we're not seeing any, we have not experienced any great changes in insurance market beyond our normal expectations. And it may be that you're referencing various cable failures. We've never had a cable failure on this, on other Off-Toes, I mean. We've never experienced a cable failure in this, for this particular project, and certainly no indication of any specific problems that we're aware of. And I think that the insurers are cognizant of our experience to date, and the way it's managed. So I mean, does that answer the question that you're querying? Because we're not seeing anything, any changes, or haven't seen any changes that are going to significantly impact our insurance premiums to date, and we're not aware of anything that's likely to do so at this stage.
No, that does answer my question. I guess maybe just out of interest, and since we have time left and I'm the only person on the call, I wanted to actually, there's been some sort of news about maybe damage to subsea cables, and I was also curious as to whether that has affected maybe insurance coverage for assets of these types, but it seems from what you've said that there has been no impact, and I guess given the location of the off tow as well and the fact that it's maybe not something to do with telecommunications, it's probably a bit more
So,
a
if
bit
you're
more of a
asking insurance regarding nefarious activities,
yeah.
I think there's been no observations in that regard. But, and as you say, being on the Irish Sea side rather than the North Sea may mean that it's less susceptible to that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we haven't observed any insurance changes in that regard.
No, I mean, I'm sure you're right that if there is an increased risk, there will be some smearing of the effect of that change through across all optos and various, you know, cable and subsea cable operators. But the effect of that is very difficult to observe.
Yeah, and you mentioned the decommissioning thing, and I'll just sort of pop up the slide there before, and just try and direct you to the third bullet. In terms of risk, I mean, yes, there is a bit of a risk, but I think what we understand to be the case, and the letter from Michael Shanks to the Energy Network Association, OFTO Forum. So this is a trade body where OFTOs get together and are able to consider regulatory policy issues together. And as part of that, you know, make a trade representation to government and regulators as appropriate. And within that letter, you'll see there that it is the government's view that partial decommissioning for these OFTOs is in principle likely to be acceptable, and that's as strong as they can go without actually saying it at this point in time. But from what we understand, in a very practical sense, is that the Department for Energy Security Net Zero is quite busy, and this is really not top of the agenda, and we don't expect this to move hugely you know, in the next 12 months. So that's the strongest commitment we've got to them pointing towards the original assumptions that were put together in creation of the decommissioning plan for round one and two OFTOs, of which WADS is tender round two, is that the assumptions around asset removal, and it's really talking about cable removal along the lines, is the same as it was back in 2015.
Yeah, it's also worth mentioning that, as Mike said, because it's been accepted, this is potentially, well, it would be
Well,
a.
not so the regulatory change that you're referring to refers to the addition of VAT and exclusion of scrap. I don't know how involved you are with the decommissioning work, but essentially, these reserve arrangements are in the case that the OFTO defaults and isn't able to decommission. So the government require reserving of monies to allow the government to decommission in the event that the OFTO is insolvent. And so therefore they are including VAT in this, because the government can't charge itself or get a rebate from itself. And also they're not prepared to take any commodity risk on value of scrap. And the value of scrap is quite significant, you know, in terms of the amount of metal essentially in cables and offshore assets. And so that they've kind of removed those from the reserves that they require. And it's that VAT and inability to offset scrap, which the regulator Ofgem has said, well, that is a legislative change, and therefore we can get that additional funding through the license mechanism. The other bit is the bit of how much do you actually need to decommission in the event that, well, when it comes to decommissioning, And the previous assumption with WADS was that the majority of the cable would be left in situ. And obviously, if you need to pull more up, it's going to cost more. And that's really what that's about. But what I would add in a very practical sense is that if WADS needed to pull that cable up, it would have an awful lot more scrap metal to sell. And of the numbers that have been worked through, they kind of happily offset the cost, the additional cost of removing the additional cable. So really what we're talking about is the need to reserve. How much do we reserve rather than the actual net cost of decommissioning? I hope that makes sense, but that's essentially it. So
In essence, we are comfortable that the reserving that we've currently got in place is based on best information we have to date. That is a reasonable assumption for the purposes of the understanding what's likely to happen should we get to decommissioning. And furthermore, you should be aware, I mean, the life cycle for this particular project is 20 years. In actual fact, it's quite possible that there will be a life, an extension to life, in which case decommissioning will be pushed back in any case, because there will be some additional incentive associated with the life extension, which we haven't discussed in this project, but it's relevant in the context of understanding what the potential impact of any decommissioning program could be.
Okay, this has been really helpful and really useful context. Thank you.
Okay, so unless there are any further questions from any other people, then I think we have completed this presentation. Thank you very much for enduring listening to us. And as I say, it will be published on the website hopefully next week. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
That's all.
Bye. Thank you.